ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're very happy to have our Bhaktivedanta Academy students here. I think it's the first time of the year. So, everybody. We're going to be reading text 46 from the 11th canto, chapter 2, Maharaj Nimi meets the nine Yogendras. And to give you a little context here, Maharaj Nimi has asked questions of the Yogendras, and Hadi is answering them. And the question he asked had to do with the qualities of the devotee. He said, please give me greater detail about the devotees of the Lord. What are their natural symptoms that I can distinguish between the most advanced devotees, those on the middle level, and those who are neophytes? So now, in this section, these next couple of verses, Havi is describing the qualities of different classes or categories of devotees. So yesterday we heard about the topmost devotee, the Uttama Adhikari, and Karan Govinda discussed that and also gave an overview of the three categories of devotees. And today we'll be discussing more the middle or Majjhima Adhikari devotee. Okay, so text 46. Ishvare tadabhineshu Palisheshu Vishatsucha Prema Matri Kripopeksha Yakaroti Sadmajama Ishvare Tadabhineshu Valisheshu Dvishatsucha Prema Matri Kripopeksha Yakaroti Samajma Ishvare Tadabhineshu Valisheshu Dvishatsucha Dvishatsucha Prema Matri Kripopeksha Yakaroti Samajma. Maybe can we have the boys chant? word for word, Ishvare. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tadabhineshu. To persons who have taken fully to Krishna consciousness. Balisheshu. Unto the neophytes or the ignorant. Dvishatsu. To persons envious of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Cha. And. Prema. Love. Maitri. Friendship. Kripa. Mercy. Upeksha. Negligence. Ya. Anyone who. Karoti. Does. Sa. He. Majjhima. A second class devotee. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. An intermediate or second class devotee called Majjhima Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm going to read about a page and a half of the seven-page purport. According to Bhagavad Gita, every living entity within the material world is eternally a minute, fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mamayavangcho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. But because of the influence of maya, the puffed-up conditioned souls become inimical to the service of the Lord and the Lord's devotees, choose leaders amongst the materialistic sense gratifiers, and thus engage busily in a useless society of cheaters and cheated, a society of the blind leading the blind into a ditch. Although the community of Vaishnavas is sincerely eager to serve the conditioned souls by bringing them back to their constitutional position, by Maya's influence, the materialistic living entities become hard-hearted and reject the mercy of the Lord's devotees. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although a second-class devotee is eager to preach to the innocent conditioned souls, he should avoid the atheistic class of men so that he will not become disturbed or polluted by their association. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has confirmed that a Vaishnava should be indifferent to those who are envious of the Supreme Lord. It is practically seen that when such persons are informed of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they attempt to ridicule the Supreme Lord, thus further deteriorating their polluted existence. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Virayom mumuchustoyam vachincha mumuchtui shivam ita gyanam ritam kale yanino dadate nava. Sometimes in autumn, the water falls down from the tops of the hills to supply clean water, and sometimes the water stops. Similarly, sometimes great saintly persons distribute clear knowledge, and sometimes they are silent. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned that although the first-class devotee of the Lord may at times exhibit apparent hatred toward the demons because of entering the mood of the Lord's pastimes, the intermediate devotee should avoid such feelings. Furthermore, the intermediate devotee should not in any way associate with a powerful atheistic class of men, because there is a danger that his mind will become bewildered by such association. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, if a Vaishnava preacher encounters one who is envious of him, the preacher should remain far away from such an envious person. But the Vaishnava preacher may meditate upon ways to save the envious class of men. Such meditation is called sadacharya, or saintly behavior. Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a saintly person. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the following statement by Prahlad. I'll just read in English. O best of great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintain their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Although a Vaishnava preacher constantly meditates on the welfare of all living entity, he will not associate with those who are unreceptive to the message of the Supreme Lord Krishna. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur states that even Bharat Maharaj, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva Goswami do not exhibit their mercy indiscriminately. So I think I'll stop there, and you can all on your own read the next several pages for more information on this very, very important topic. It is a very important topic, actually. And in fact, it is so important that this idea of the different classes or categories of devotees is covered many, many places in our scripture. We can see of Nectar Devotion, chapter 2, there's a description of the three classes of devotee. Nectar of Instruction, verse 5, talks about this. We're hearing here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, and also in the Majjhalila, 22nd chapter, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, there's another description of the different classes or categories of devotees. So this is an important principle to understand about the Kanishtha, Majjham, and Uttama Adhikara, the three classes of devotees. Why? Because first of all, it helps us to understand the nature of devotees, understand our service attitude and relationships, and most important, it gives us instruction on proper behavior and how to advance in Krishna consciousness and how to best serve the devotees and associate with the devotees of the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada instructs us not to remain on the Kanishtha platform. Devotees are instructed to try to at least come to the Majjhima or middle class platform of Krishna consciousness. And we'll be talking about that quite a bit today, what these different classifications mean and how these are exemplified in different ways and different ways or perspectives of looking at it. So devotees advance at different rates. Some people, we say some people might be a Kanishtha or a beginning or a neophyte devotee. Some are more in the middle stage and some are very advanced. So it's hard to know why devotees are at different stages. It may have to do with their devotional practices, past lifetimes, etc. But there is very one important principle, and that's the principle of trying to engage in Krishna consciousness, avoid materialistic sense gratification, to continue our advancement. There's a story that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was asked why devotees advance at different rates. In reply, he told the story of a wedding party. A group of people on their way to a wedding hired a boat for a river journey. The boatman rowed all night, but why do you think he didn't get anywhere? He forgot to pull the anchor. Because he had forgotten to pull out the anchor, the boat never moved from the shore. So what does this tell us? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati drew the analogy. If a devotee does not pull up the anchor of material attachment and sense gratification, then despite his show of devotional service, he will not advance. Okay. So let's look at these different sort of categories and how we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And real briefly, we'll go over them. Some of this was discussed yesterday, so there's a little repetition, but we have a new audience here. So talk about that there are these distinctions that are made in terms of one's spiritual attainment. Sometimes this word adhikari is used, like Kanishtha adhikari, Majjhima adhikari. Adhikari simply means one's level of advancement, how one is advanced or what spiritual attainment in Krishna consciousness. We also see these levels in terms of the development of faith, how one chants, and in devotee relationships, which I want to talk about probably the most today, about relationships amongst devotees. So the different realizations we can understand is that Kanishtha Adhikari worships in the temple, but he doesn't, he'll recognize that Krishna is God, but he doesn't really know the scripture, doesn't really understand the philosophy so well, and often does not see Krishna everywhere, and thus will not offer proper respects to devotees. In other words, I'll worship the deity, but I don't care about the devotees. That's a neophyte or Kanishtha platform. The Majjhima, on the other hand, has strong faith. They're situated in the devotional practice. They take initiation, and they make distinctions between four kinds of people. And that was what the verse today was covering. We'll talk about more. The Uttama Adhikari is one who is engaged in pure devotional service. And as stated yesterday, he sees systematically everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated in the Lord. So that's the highest vision of the pure devotee. Uttama means highest. So the Uttama Adhikari is one who completely understands Krishna, sees Krishna and everything and everywhere, and dedicates their entire life to Krishna consciousness. It's also described in Nectar of Instruction as such a devotee's heart is devoid of the propensity to criticize. So that's how we can see some of the symptoms of this topmost devotee. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhima Lila, also Lord Chaitanya describes these different divisions in terms of development of faith. It's stated that a faithful devotee is a truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. According to one's faith, one is classified as a topmost devotee, intermediate, or inferior devotee. One who is very expert in argument and logic based on revealed scriptures, but who has firm faith. I'm sorry, did I say that right? One who is not very expert in argument and logic, but has firm faith, is a second-class devotee. He also must be considered most fortunate. One whose faith is not very strong should be considered a neophyte devotee. So the Kanishta or neophyte has weak faith, and if they are discussing Krishna consciousness with someone, if they are in a situation where someone is challenging them, they may become defeated because they don't really have as strong a faith, they don't really have much philosophical understanding. And so they might actually lose their Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, one in the Majjhima or the middle class may not know all the scriptures, may not always have a perfect argument, but they have firm faith. You know, they're not going to go away from Krishna consciousness because somebody disagrees with them or they can't convince somebody. And the Uttama Adhikari has complete faith, perfect faith, and can argue conclusively based upon the scriptures. There's also different levels of chanting Hare Krishna. Some of this I got from Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It says that the Kanishta Adhikari occasionally chants, and they're not steady in their sadhana. You know, they may perform devotional service for a while, they may chant some rounds, but they're not steady. The Majjhima is constantly chanting and has steady sadhana. And actually, it's very interesting. There's a whole about a one-page description in the Nectar of Instruction of Srila Prabhupada's purport where he talks about how one comes to the Majjhima platform through the process of diksha, or spiritual initiation. How important that is that once one is engaged in sadhana steadily and takes initiation from the spiritual master, then one is considered to be on the Majjhima platform. Okay. And of course, the Uttama Adhikari not only is standing, chanting, but inspires others to chant just by their presence. Okay. Now, sometimes the Uttama Adhikari devotee, it was described how they see everyone as being part and parcel of Krishna. They make no distinction. But if you make no distinction, then how can you preach Krishna consciousness? If I'm thinking, well, there's spirit souls in the tree, and this person, that person, devotee, it's all equal. So that's a very, very high vision. But because the pure devotee, Uttama Adhikari, also has compassion within their heart, it's described that it's almost like, I don't want to, sometimes we say descend to the Majjhima Adhikari platform. I don't think that's exactly accurate. Sometimes they will have to act on the Majjhima platform of making distinctions out of mercy to preach to the conditioned souls. It says, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Uttama Adhikari may act as a Majjhima for purpose of preaching. The Kanishta Adhikari devotee cannot turn others into Vaishnavas, but a Majjhima Adhikari Vaishnava can do so by preaching. So we see that both the middle class devotees and the highest Uttama Adhikari both are involved in preaching. Okay. Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion Lecture of 1972, our attempt should be from Kanishta Adhikari to Majjhima Adhikari. Majjhima Adhikari means preacher. Unless one comes to the Majjhima Adhikari, he cannot preach. Because in the Uttama Adhikari, there is no need of preaching, because the Uttama Adhikari sees everything good. He does not think anyone is lacking in Krishna consciousness. He says everyone is Krishna conscious. So one must keep himself in the Majjhima Adhikari stage. Majjhima Adhikari stage means one knows Krishna Ishvara, one knows who is Krishna's devotees, who knows who is innocent, neither devotee nor non-devotee, and he knows who is the non-devotee. This is preaching. So you might think, well, why do we make distinctions? Why should we make distinction between this person and this person? And Prabhupada explains it is for the purpose of preaching. Because you have to know, who do I preach to, who do I not preach to, like that. So in terms of relationships with others, the Kanishtha also can't really appreciate devotees and not really recognize who is advanced devotee, who is not. The Uttama Adhikari sees everyone a servant of God, so he doesn't distinguish. But the Majjhima Adhikari sees four classes of persons, and that was described in today's verse, that the Majjhima Adhikari offers his love and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord. He shows mercy to the ignorant people who are innocent and disregards those who are envious of God. Now, in the purport, we began to read, and there's a long description of why one avoids the envious, mainly because usually you're not going to, if one is very much against Krishna consciousness, has no faith in God, no faith in spiritual understanding or information, you probably are not going to convince them. And secondly, they will just probably cause offense. You know, they'll say things or they'll do things which will actually not help them advance in Krishna consciousness. So it's better just to avoid those people. If you ever run into those people, which we often do, you know, just avoid them. Be polite, go on your way, and find those who are innocent. And Prabhupada said, I think Prabhupada Govinda was mentioning yesterday, 90-95% of the world is innocent. Prabhupada said that. Most people are innocent. They're not demons. There are a few, but most people are innocent. That means they can hear about Krishna consciousness. So the devotee, out of their mercy, they preach to those people. Okay? Now, let's talk about our relationships with the devotees. There are four relationships: service and devotion to God, friendship with the devotees, mercy to those who are innocent or ignorant, and avoid those who are envious. So amongst those who are devotees, how do we act towards them? In the Nectar of Instruction, verse 5, this is described. It says, Rupa Goswami says, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So there are three relationships that we have devotees. So first of all, those who are very advanced devotees or very pure, you know, pure devotees, one spiritual master, one relates to them and acts in terms of service. In other words, we offer all respects and all service to those who are clearly superior to us. Those who are, we say superior, not in a sense of, in a material sense, but just in terms of spiritual attainment or spiritual advancement. Obviously, Srila Prabhupada is more advanced than we are. Everybody can recognize that. So we serve Srila Prabhupada. We serve senior devotees. We serve our guru. We serve those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. And we make friendships with those on an equal level. Now, how do we know someone is equal? Well, we don't have to make some elaborate test, you know, or anything like that. But we understand that those who are contemporaries, our prabhus, our associates, you know, those are our equals. Like basically, all of you in this room are my equals because you're all devotees serving the Lord. So those who are on an equal level, we make friendships with, we mutually serve, we serve them, they serve us, and we engage in Prabhupada, which is coming up in there. So is it verse 6, the six loving exchanges? Next verse. Oh, it's one before. Okay, the fourth verse before talks about the six loving exchanges: offering prasadam, accepting prasadam, offering gifts, accepting gifts, offering, giving one's mind, one's heart in confidence, and hearing the confidences of others. These are loving exchanges amongst devotees. So these are the types of things that we do with ourselves, those that we make friendships in Krishna consciousness. You know, so that's very important that we develop these. And also the third part is that we mentally honor all devotees, and that includes neophyte or beginners. We never disrespect anyone. Anyone who is described, that anyone who once utters the name of Krishna is a devotee. Now, they may be a neophyte devotee, a Kanishtha Adhikari. They may be a very beginning devotee. But nevertheless, they are a devotee. So we offer them respect. Now, if somebody is a devotee but has many, many bad habits, does that mean that we need to, that we associate with them intimately, closely? Not necessarily. We want to get good association from devotees who are advanced and who help us advance in Krishna consciousness. But even if someone is a very beginning devotee, somebody, or someone who may have some bad habits or materialistic propensities, we may not want to associate as closely with them, but still we offer them all respect because they are a devotee. And it's described that we not only do we offer them respect, but we try to help them. We try, our service to them is to try to help them advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? Not in a condescending way, but through offering friendship and offering help however we can. So it's not that we have to avoid or shun some devotees and, well, they're not as advanced as me or this or that, but we're a little bit careful in our relationships with them, and we try to offer our friendship and help and show mercy to them. And especially a new person, anybody who is new coming from Krishna consciousness, which most of us were. Now, some of you are fortunate, you were born as devotees, and you've been devotees your entire life, but a lot of us were not. And there was a time when we were non-devotees, and somehow by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and also the mercy of all the other devotees, we became devotees. You know, many of us did not meet Srila Prabhupada personally. I was fortunate, I saw Srila Prabhupada right in the beginning before I became a, well, that's when I became a devotee, but then I didn't see him for 2 or 3 years. So how did we learn about Krishna consciousness? From the other devotees, from all those devotees that helped us. So we also, in return, should help new people that are coming as we were helped. So that's the role of the relationships that we should have towards other devotees. We know that our primary purpose is to redevelop, reestablish our loving relationship with Krishna, which we have forgotten, that original loving relationship with the Lord. While we're in these material in this material world, we don't always see and relate, speak with Krishna. So, you know, in other words, Krishna is still a little bit remote to us. We haven't yet attained that position of seeing and associating directly, although we are associating with Krishna right here. But you know what I mean, directly not so much. But we can associate with Krishna's devotees. And that is very important because we make advancement through that association at Sadhu Sangha. So our relationships with those around us, with other devotees, should be spiritual relationships as much as possible. Just as there's affection in families, if you have a brother or sister, you have common parents. So that gives you a special relationship, right? And you have many, many friends, but your relationship with brothers and sisters is a little bit special. So in the same way, Krishna is the parent to all of us. Krishna is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Therefore, we are all related. We are all part of Krishna's family. So that affection is natural. It's natural that there is that special affection for devotees. And we find that we have spiritual safety in that association of devotees. We're rightly situated. We know that the association of devotees is going to help us, remind us of Krishna, help us in our spiritual advancement. So some of us find ourselves in situations. I know for many years after I was a devotee, I had a job, I worked, I had to deal with non-devotees. Many of you may be in that position. And you find sometimes even our young people, you're all very fortunate that you're part of the Bhaktivedanta Academy where you are associating with devotees and students and devotee teachers all day. But you probably all have friends or know other devotees who maybe they're going to a non-devotee school and they have that association. So it's difficult, isn't it? Sometimes it's difficult when we find ourselves in a position where we have to do a lot of associating with non-devotees. So what do? Is it we hate them? No, of course not. We want to be helpful to them. We want to be merciful to them, make friendships with them. We want to show them a good example of being a devotee. That's part of our preaching, just showing ourselves a good character, you know, and that devotees are basically good people, you know, who have good habits and good qualities. But beyond that, we have to be a little bit careful that we don't too closely or too intimately associate with non-devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur described this very nicely. He talked about, and we all know Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a magistrate. He was actually working with all kinds of people, probably non-devotees as well as devotees. So Bhaktivinoda said when we're associating with non-devotees, We do not repose our affection. We may associate, but we don't give our heart. We save our heart, our affection, for a relationship with the devotees. Does that make sense? I just thought that was just so nicely said. The way Bhakti Vinod described that, you know, yes, we associate with so many people. You know, and a devotee is equipoised. A devotee is very capable of relating to many people. And we save our heart. We save our close, intimate relationships to the family of Krishna's devotees. Okay? You know, it's like as we advance in Krishna consciousness, I don't think, who teaches math here? Anybody? Okay. So, Jai Shri Radhe. When I was in school a long time ago, they started teaching at middle school what they called set theory. And they talked about Venn diagrams. They don't teach that anymore, do they? Oh, they still do. Intersections. Okay. All right. So some of you may know what a Venn diagram is. You know, it's like you have circles. Okay? Some of you know this? You have circles. And they're called sets. So let's say we have two circles with two sets. And one of them is pure devotional activities. This is pure devotional service. And this set over here is all of the material activities that we have to do in the world. Okay? These are all of our material sort of either dharma or adharma, whatever they are, all these activities that are here. And so for a non-devotee, these are completely separate. And for a beginning devotee, they start to intersect, right? I get my material devotee, and and here's a little intersection where I start coming to temple. I start, start chanting Hare Krishna, start becoming part of the practice of devotional service. As we become more advanced, those circles overlap more and more, right? So we may have a little bit out here that's our material activity, and there's some aspects of devotional service which we haven't attained yet. And as we become advanced, those circles come closer and closer so that we see an uttama adhikari, a pure devotee, there's no difference, right? There's no difference between one's so-called material life and spiritual life because everything is about Krishna. The pure devotee sees Krishna in everything, all of their actions, all of their words, all of their thoughts, all of their bodily activities are all for the service of the Lord. So that's our goal, you know, and we recognize it's not all at once. Sometimes it's a gradual process. There may still be these activities out here which are not pure devotional service, you know, but we, as we practice, they become closer and closer. And at the same time, bringing this back to our topic today, we could see that the Kanishtha Adhikari is way out here, just has a little bit of overlap. The Majjhima Adhikari has a good amount of overlap, and the Uttama Adhikari has complete overlap. So that's what we're attempting to do. And how does that happen? How do we move from Kanishtha to Majjhima to Uttama? Prabhupada explains this very clearly in these different purports. In the Nectar of Instruction and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's through the process of sadhana. It's the process of the hearing and chanting, the practice of Krishna consciousness. The Kanishtha Adhikari comes to the middle platform as they engage in Krishna consciousness, and if we're fortunate enough to be on the Majjhima Adhikari platform, or at least trying to attain the Majjhima Adhikari platform, we have faith that if we continue this practice of Krishna consciousness under the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, the scriptures, and our guru, we will someday attain the highest platform of devotional service, or at least some lifetime. It will happen. It can happen this very lifetime, in fact. So that is what we're trying to do. We want to see all of our duties, our family life, our play, our activities, our schoolwork, not completely separate from Krishna, but somehow connected. And sometimes that takes a little bit of conscious thought about how we do this. Because I was thinking this morning about the class, I think, well, you know, like we have quite a few children here. And so for children, what does that mean, actually? Thinking, okay, you go to your friend's house and you're playing. Now, I suspect that you're not just dressing the deities and chanting Hare Krishna, chanting bhajans all the time, are you? Come on, of course you're not. Adults aren't doing that either all the time. We have, you know, many activities we may be doing. But the thing is, we do it within the context of Krishna consciousness. We do it within the association of devotees. You go over to your devotee friend's house, and what do you probably see? There's probably pictures of Krishna on the wall. They may have, you know, chanting playing. They're probably going to offer you some prasadam. Right. So in other words, there's the Krishna conscious context behind everything. And sometimes we don't even think about it or recognize it, but it's there. And if it's not there, you really see it, right? If you're in a situation where there is no Krishna consciousness, where people aren't devotees, the contrast becomes blaring. You know, it's right there and you can see it. In fact, it doesn't feel right, does it? You feel somewhat uncomfortable, you know, right? Because we feel safety and security within our family of devotees. And it's not just a cultural thing. This is our culture, so we feel good here. No, it's because this is our spiritual life. This is the awakening of the soul. This is who we are. So we are situated rightly in our spiritual position in relationship with Krishna. And so even if everything doesn't seem like it's totally related to Krishna consciousness every second of our day, we should be so fortunate to be that advanced. Still, we see that we surround ourselves in Krishna consciousness, in the sadhu sangha, association devotees, and gradually we become more and more advanced in the process. But we have to take to the process. We have to chant Hare Krishna. We have to engage in the processes of dojo service, hearing the scriptures, hearing and chanting being the beginning. And eventually, for all of us, and those of you who are younger, as you get older, it's very important to start thinking about making that connection of diksha through spiritual initiation, which Prabhupada said is sort of the hallmark of the Majjhima Adhikari, the middle-class devotee. So if we see in our relationships a basis of service, then they are very close. I remember devotees that I served with, that we worked on a project together, and for several years. And I met some of those devotees later, and I realized I didn't have anything in common with them. You know, they weren't like people I necessarily choose to be friends. But we were very good friends on the spiritual platform because we were performing service together. And so therefore, even though materially they may have seemed very different, we always felt this connection. So it's like that. When you're performing service, when you're any kind of chanting or going out or distributing books, or if you're performing a play or bhajans or anything like that, when you're with that association of devotees, you know, you can feel that Krishna consciousness is there. And we also should think about service to the devotees. Our relationship is one of service. I'll finish with a Srimad Bhagavatam purport. Srila Prabhupada says 6:11:25. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Dasam Anudas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised and showed by his example, a living entity should always desire to be servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes into sitting succession and a servant of the servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage three properties, namely, body, mind, and words. If one is thus engaged in loving service to the Lord, one's life is successful. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, I think we're losing our audience, so I should stop there. They have other things to do in their devotional service today, such as learning. A couple of minutes, any comments, questions? Chitari.
Your story about the boatman, I heard one variation on that. I didn't hear about the anchor. I heard that there was a big fog that night on the river. Maybe it was a combination of fog and the anchor, because, you know, they couldn't see where the riverbank was.
So. What was the fog? What was the analogy?
Well, I mean, that's the analogy would be that we don't have correct vision of where we're going.
The material illusion covers us.
We think we're going someplace, but we're not.
I think there's a lot of boat analogies in Krishna consciousness. You know, the captain of the boat, the spiritual master, crossing the ocean of material life. Yeah, boats are good analogies. Thank you. Anything else?
I was thinking you ended 1.5 pages. Ended with you said some pure devotee like You mentioned Sukhdev Goswami, Vyasdev, and King Bharat. You said sometime not seen. So I was thinking, like in one purport of fifth canto, I believe 18th chapter, Prabhupada says that Maharaj Bharat, he when in his life he was being tortured by his brothers, giving him bad food, and they would eat the good food. They would not, even though their brother, but would treat him very bad. And then also later on, he came with the Tyagis who wanted to kill him. But seems like he did not respond to his brothers who were kind of envious to him or malicious. And with this Tyagis also kind of wanted to kill him, but he never responded. Mm-hmm. He remained. But yet with King Rahuguna, he responded.
Yes.
And I always got attracted with it. And Prabhupada made a very, I picked from that paragraph, Prabhupada says, he was a Gyani, Rahuguna was Gyani, and he was going towards Kapilashram. Mm-hmm. And the third point Prabhupada said, he was a recipient. So then King Bharat failed to respond.
That's a good example of Jada Bharat. And this was mentioned in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport, how and it's more elaborate if I would have read more of the purport about how sometimes the pure devotee even will not always seem to be giving their mercy to everyone. But that it's not because they're not merciful, it's because the person is not receptive, like the brothers in that story. They would not have been able to. In fact, they probably would have harassed him more and caused more offense. So sometimes it's almost to avoid that people cause more offense that we just kind of maybe leave them alone. An example was of these great devotees who even exhibited that. But when the time is ripe, when there's the right situation, then of course the pure devotee gives all of their mercy to everyone. And it's also described that the Majjhima Adhikari, the middle class devotee who is serving the pure devotee, serving the Uttama Adhikari, can also give mercy and preach to the conditioned souls and can give that. So there's no hindrance. Thank you. Okay. I'll bless you, Srila Prabhupada.